It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another episode of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Happy you're here. We have some non-Wall Street stuff we're going to be talking about today, which is great because, you know, being a Wall Street guy in the past, I know where all the bodies are buried. So hopefully we're gonna have a fun conversation about non-Wall Street stuff. So we have the co-founder and partner at Wealth Without Wall Street. It's an online community that seeks to re-educate business owners and families on how money really works. And Wall Street's not just a street in New York, although that's what most people think. It's a street that it's a methodology that puts Americans' money at risk, but it's also commonly a taught mindset that doesn't really serve us very well sometimes. Wealth Without Wall Street exists to help people who want to become financially free without ever having to invest through Wall Street or becoming debt-free. So let's say hello to Joey Murray. Joey, how are you?
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I know you're in the middle of an entrepreneur retreat. You guys are talking passive income and all that stuff. So I want to thanks for your time in advance here. But let's start talking. Like, how did you get into what you're doing? I know you got a lot of things that you juggle and you know, axes that you grind, I guess. But tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Well, Mark, I am the epitome of the guy that fails forward. And I think I'm just like a lot of people who failed in the process of doing what I thought was the proper process. Everybody told you you're supposed to do. Go to school, get good grades, go to college. Once you get to college, you need to get a great job and you need to focus on doing an excellent job today so that you can have something put away for retirement at some point in your 60s or 70s.
Yeah, when you're like 45 years later, when your hips don't work and your knees don't.
Yeah. And, you know, defer off a lot of life and just do something that you love in the meantime. The problem with that is I didn't feel very financially successful, even though my active income in the mortgage business, by the way, went to over $300,000 in my late 20s. And I thought, this is dramatically more than I would have expected that I would be making. And I'm not any closer to what I would say is success. Like,
why do you think you weren't closer to that? Let's boil it down to what were the two or three nuggets that would make you feel that you weren't closer? Like, you were killing it in your 20s, making 300 grand. What fell short?
Well, I have five daughters. And that was not a mess up on the audio. That is legit. I have five daughters. And
I thought you were going to say it was a mess up.
No. It's not. But what I realized was, man, as your active income increases, a lot of times, it didn't happen all the time, but in a lot of situations, you're trading your time in order to get more and more of that active income. And so I looked up in my, like I said, late 20s, and I realized I'm giving 50, 60 hours a week to this hamster wheel. Like, I have to stay connected in order to continue to maintain this sort of lifestyle and this sort of active income. And so I wasn't present. I was physically there, but mentally, I was always working. I was always taking that next phone call. I was always telling my daughters, hey, you guys go on down to the beach. We're on vacation. You guys go on down to the beach. I'll be right behind you. And then 3 hours later, I'm walking down the boardwalk out to the beach, and they're walking back up the boardwalk at the same time, just crushed, you know, disappointed. Like, dad's here, but he's not here, right? And I realized I was the only asset producing income. And I needed to find another way. That wasn't the actual formula to financial freedom and success. I needed to have something else. And that came in the form of passive income. I needed my active income to start creating passive income so that I could buy that time back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And so, I mean, the story that we're all told, the bill of goods that we're all sold, is that, you know, you go through these little stages of life. Why do you think they do that? Why do you think we're told that and sold that? And then we get into the whole, you know, what Wall Street sells us too. But why do you think we're told all that?
You said the different areas of life. I'm sorry. Well,
The different stages, like, you know, go get good grades in high school and then you can go to good college and then you get good grades in college. So you can get a good job. That whole, you know, you get the American dream of buying a house and then you get in debt and you can buy a bigger house and you never really get ahead. It sounds like you've already experienced that. So what, you know, first of all, why did they do that? And what's the alternative?
Well, I think that there's I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but there's a way in which big banks, Wall Street, and big corporations need you to stay distracted on the day to day so that you can abdicate your finances to somebody else. That's Wall Street, right? Yep. And you can defer all that time. You just keep your head down, just keep focused, because the big corporations need you to work for them. The big banks need your money today, and they want to keep you in that grind forever, right? And then as far as Wall Street, they want to hold on to your capital as long as you'll let them. In fact, they'll hold it until you're in your 60s, and then they'll just start to like give you little bits of it back until you die. Yeah. It is the greatest money-making opportunity of all time. It's just you're on the wrong side of it. Yeah. And so I think it's a mindset that we're given that you have to break free of, and you have to start. It starts with, I don't know about you, Mark, but for me, it started with a book that challenged me to take control of my own finances. And the reason I say that is because the indoctrination is you're not smart enough to understand all this Wall Street stuff, right? Right. You have to have licenses. You have to have years of study. You have to have like this very complex financial modeling that you have to understand in order for you to actually be able to manage your own money. And you just don't have time for that. You just need to stay working, keep your head down. And the reality is it's a really, really simple formula. If you break it down, it's your passive income has to be greater than your monthly expenses. And I didn't come up with that formula. I don't take credit where credit's not due. That's the Robert Kiyosaki method. There's probably somebody before him, right?
For sure.
But if your passive income exceeds your monthly expenses, you only have to have two numbers. You only have to understand two numbers to make sure that you're on the path to financial freedom. Because if that happens, you can pull up your phone right now, go to your calendar app, and you can look at it. And if you look at it right now, it's likely filled with 80% of the time someone else is dictating what's on your calendar.
Man, you are speaking my language. This is exactly
right.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But as soon as that passive income exceeds your monthly expenses, you get to put what goes in those blocks.
Yeah.
With who you want to be with, yeah, where you want to be located, like what you're passionate about, what sort of impact do you want to have? Your calendar is a clean slate.
Yeah.
And most people cannot even fathom that, Mark, because they don't think that it's possible.
You know, this all sounds great. And listen, I preach almost the exact same words. I mean, if you shaved your head, then I would actually think I'm talking to me. But you know, it's really amazing. It's all programming, right? And it's programming. I believe that it's programming to put us in this track where we, you know, we do work for other people. Just like you said, you use the calendar analogy. I use the money analogy, where people have businesses and, you know, they get really wealthy off of other people working, and that's fine. That's what our capitalistic society is. But you need to know that you have the power to be able to exit the track and get on the different track, the fast track, right? And so what actually comes up in most people's minds, though, is this all sounds good, Joey. This all sounds good, Mark. But for me, like, I don't know enough about investing in apartments. I don't know enough about, you know, putting money into insurance, you know, infinite banking. I don't know enough about, I'm scared. What if I put my money in there and I lose it all? Like, that would suck.
Well, let me just tell you, that's another mindset that we've been taught.
Yeah.
Because how do you get graded in school, Mark?
On all the questions that I got wrong.
100%. You have either 100% is the mark, right? Yeah. But how many people, and our podcast has been going for over 7 years now. I've interviewed over 500 different people, and I'm sure you've done a lot as well. How many people who are uber successful would tell you, you know what? I've always gotten everything 100% right. I've never made a mistake. I've never lost money. Oh, I've never had a business go
51%. I'm probably pretty happy, you know?
Okay. So we've been taught that 100% is the goal. Like, you have to always make everything right. You can't make mistakes. Yeah. And that is a bogus lie.
Oh man, that's so true.
It is such a lie. And so here's what I would tell that person. Get used to making mistakes and get used to investing in yourself, right? Take the time. I'll give this analogy. There are people in our community that have traded. They've gone through, they have a 9-to-5 already, and they go ahead and commit to a 5-to-9 mm-hmm. for a period of time. Sure. And there's a guy that did this. He did it for 2 years. He committed to a 5-to-9, buying and selling raw land from his house off his laptop. And he did that for 2 years so that he could replace his 9-to-5 forever.
Yeah.
And so that's the question I would ask somebody like that. I'd say, are you willing, and is it make sense to you? Is it worth it to commit to a season of 2 years, 3 years, however many years it takes to literally take a 5-to-9 and trade it for a get rid of that 9-to-5 yeah. forever. That's the math problem we have to do to ourselves.
I used to have a saying in one of my companies with my partner, and we would, come in every day and we would say, live like nobody else will for 5 years, and then you can live like nobody else can for the rest of your life. So you've got kind of a similar thing on that, is you got to give up a little bit in the beginning, not for the whole 45 years, but for a couple of years, you give up the 4 hours at night that you'd be
exactly
spending watching Game of Thrones, put it into yourself. And after that, then hopefully you got things taken off, right?
Yeah. And I think it really comes down to, are you willing to bet on yourself a little bit? Yeah. Right. And you'd be shocked if you just spent time and money. I'm just telling you, people that invest in coaches, they invest in mentors, they invest in masterminds, they are always dramatically more successful. But very few people see the value of that.
Right.
They say, I can't spend the money on that. Like, I can't afford that. When they are trading the next 40 to 50 years of their life for it.
Yeah.
Which one is more expensive?
Well, if you actually think about it, the answer is obvious, but most people don't even have the question that's in their awareness. So let me ask you this question. So we've talked a lot about philosophy here and thinking and all that's really important. But now let's talk about kind of what you do and how you actually how do you make this granular?
Hey, I'm glad it was you trying to say that word and not me.
I usually have no problem with that word.
Well, I'll tell you, when we started writing a book about 3.5 years ago, and it really forced us to try to put this into very clear steps.
Okay.
Because Russ Morgan and I are business partners. We look back over the last, 15 years, and all the steps it took us to get to where we are today. And we're like, man, there's a lot of things we could have done faster and more efficiently. Why don't we share that with the world, not just our 15 years to get here? And it really boiled down to 3 steps. Goal, plan, and support. GPS. Okay. Nice. So everybody knows a GPS. You pull up your Maps app on your phone. You have to know where you start. Have you ever been, by the way, out west or somewhere where there's just virtually no cell signal and you try to use your Maps app?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
You can't get anywhere because it doesn't know where you're at, right? It can't find where you're starting from. So it doesn't matter if you know what the destination is, you have nowhere, it can't tell you what the next step is, right?
Yeah.
Well, the goal in my mind is if I can be clear, what we've been talking about so far, it is conceptual, but to be honest, if you don't start with what am I looking for? What does financial freedom actually mean to me? What will I be? Like, who will I be? What will I do? And what will I have when that happens? You start to visualize what would life be like. Now it says, now that tells you, what do I need to start doing with money to actually obtain that?
Okay.
And I'll just give you this as a shocker, Mark. 99% of the people that go down this path with our group, they stop putting money in qualified plans, 401ks, IRAs, 529 plans. It's like almost overnight they stop putting money in those things.
Yeah, but hang on a second. People listening and watching this podcast are going to go, wait a minute. I put money in my 401k and I get my 8%, and then I get like matching. They tell me that that's like a 100% return on the part that they match. Like if I put in 5% and they match up to 5%, I'm doubling my money. Tell me about that.
So I knew you were going to say that. In fact, if you didn't bring it up, I was going to bring it up because it's like the most common thing.
I know.
But the question that we have to ask is go back to the formula. Does it create a passive income for me today? Yep. Does my 401k create passive income today? Answer is no.
No way.
Right? Does it reduce a monthly expense?
Nope.
No. So passive income greater than monthly expenses. It doesn't increase the passive income. It doesn't reduce the monthly expenses. So does it actually get me closer to or further from my goal of financial freedom?
Well, I mean, can't you argue that eventually it becomes worth something that you can invest in to get passive income?
If you want to invest 25 years from now, 30 years from now, absolutely. But what is your real goal? Again, if you started with that vision, are you wanting to throw the baseball with your grandkids or with your kids?
Nice.
That is the difference. I want the financial freedom today. So it doesn't matter what the rate of return is. It doesn't matter what the match is. It inherently goes against what my goals are.
Hmm.
And so I can't afford to put money in those qualified plans anymore. In fact, I need to take that cash flow that would have been going there, and I need to invest it in something that creates passive income for me today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not getting anywhere closer to my goal.
So you're saying a lot of the stuff that Robert Kiyosaki talks about. And it really comes down to what this channel is all about, this podcast is all about, and that is getting financially educated.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
We are not taught this in school. We have to go figure it all out ourselves. We've got to go to seminars. We've got to meet people like you. We got to figure out things all on our own. And we may not even be getting the right data when we do figure it out. So we've got to become financially educated. And that's what you do. You have a book. You've got, masterminds, groups. You got all kinds of stuff to help people. But people have to participate in their own rescue, correct?
100%. Yeah. Wall Street will tell you that, it's hands off. Just hit the easy button. Give me your money. I'll manage it for you. And by the way, they take no responsibility if it goes the opposite way,
right?
If it goes to negative, it's not their fault. They have no responsibility. But what the reality is your money is always a participatory sport. Yeah. It's always on you. And so for us to buy into the idea that we have no responsibility and we abdicate that to somebody else, that to me, one, I'm a believer, so I believe that we're to steward everything that we're given from the Lord. And your money, your time, all your resources are yours. Like, you need to manage that and steward that to the best of your ability. And that comes from educating yourself. You have to stop and educate yourself. There's no question.
So what kind of vehicles do you guys use, beyond the education to actually now you got the wheels hitting the ground instead of the Fred Flintstone feet running in place. You actually have to make some things happen. What vehicles do you guys use?
So I'll tell you how it all started for Russ and I is I read a book called Become Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash. Okay. When I read that book, it was the first thing that challenged me to think differently. And it offered up that banks are a great business model to mimic. And yeah. I was like, well, yeah. In fact, I worked for Wells Fargo Bank at the time. And he was like, you don't know what you don't know, but banks are amazing at making money and storing capital. And I was like, okay, well, what do they do with their money? First of all, they use leverage quite a bit. But the bigger thing that he taught me in that book is they use cash value life insurance as their top tier one assets. That means the safest place that they store capital, even far more than what they put into real estate. And I don't know about you, but that shocked me. And you can look at this up, go to FDIC.gov, look up their balance sheet of your favorite bank or the biggest bank you can think of. They all have more money in cash value life insurance than they have in real estate holdings.
Who are they insuring?
Well, that's the funny part. You ever walked into a bank and met somebody and you thought, man, that guy's really not the sharpest guy I've ever met?
Pretty much every day.
But he's got a name tag, or she has a name tag that says VP.
Vice president, yep.
Of something, right? It could be vice president of janitorial services. I don't know. But you're like, why is that person a vice president? That doesn't make sense. Well, because the insurance companies require you to have a key man title in order to be insurable. Okay. So the very people, well, by the way, when I learned this, I went around to all the people at the bank that I worked for, Wells Fargo, at the highest levels of regional leadership that I knew. And I said, hey, what do you think about this? Like storing money in cash value life insurance and, you know, becoming this banker and like all the stuff I read in this book. And they're like, Joey, that's a dumb idea. Nobody puts money in life insurance. Like that's a terrible investment. They kept calling it investment, which that's not what it is. And in the meantime, simultaneously, the very people telling me it was a bad idea were the ones being insured by the bank.
She heard anybody put it that way, but the question is obvious. Like, wait a minute, you got to insure something. And so they're key people. They're really brilliant VPs. That's so interesting. That's 25 minutes into the podcast, everybody. And that to me is the biggest nugget we've talked about so far. That's beautiful. So we're talking about some kind of wraparound life insurance or wraparound insurance investment. Go a little further.
Well, let me clarify that. It's not an investment. Okay. It's the place, it's the warehouse for your capital. Okay. Yeah. So when you stop putting money into things like 401ks, IRAs, 529 plans, you stop paying extra on your debt. You stop paying cash for everything. Your capital has to reside somewhere.
Yeah.
And what I learned from this was your capital has to be in a place that's liquid. It's accessible at all times. It's always growing. It's growing tax deferred. And it's accessible to me to get at any time. I can leverage it into the passive income assets at any time and get two things growing at once. When I learned that you could do both of them at the same time, I could take the cash value life insurance and it be growing and take a loan against it to start an investment, whether it be real estate, whether it be land flipping, like I mentioned, the gentleman did before, could be investing in syndications, could be apartments, whatever the case is. I now have the asset at work and my cash still growing. That was the game changer for me. And I started to put as much as I could into this vehicle. That's when I was like, okay, now I got to learn what to invest in. And that's when we started down this path of going from a goal to a plan, and then to get the support, that GPS model that we referenced earlier.
Now, you know, you laid that out in a very similar way to what people are told about investing in real estate. Buy a house, the house goes up in value over time. That's what we're told. It always goes up, but real estate always goes up. And then we can always borrow against the real estate as it goes up in value. with a home equity line of credit or whatever. We can refinance the property, or we could do this not just with our house, but maybe with a strip mall. What's the difference between investing that way in real estate, which most people can understand, and investing in, you know, say, and it's not an investment the way you put it, but in putting money into, you know, insurance?
So the main difference, first of all, it's a great comparison. It's a great similarity. You're building equity in real estate that then you can borrow against. The same way is true in these life insurance policies when they're designed properly. That's a key factor. And you're building that equity that you can then borrow against. Just like you can get a home equity line of credit on your house, if I borrow against that home equity line, I can use that cash over here to build a different asset. And my house continues to grow in value, assuming that the market continues to grow right around me, the comparable homes in the area. So you get two assets growing at once. So you get the idea. Well, the difference is in cash value life insurance, I actually have a contractual guarantee for that to go up every single year. Versus in a home, you know, we've seen our fair share of markets where the values actually went down.
Yeah,
that never happens with a cash value life insurance policy because it's literally a contract between you and an insurance company, and they have to pay a guaranteed interest rate every single year, along with a non-guaranteed dividend, but they've been paying them for over 100 years. So these things are built in that you can then utilize that growth every single year. So those are the main differences. The second thing, of course, is that you're also getting this additional benefit of a death benefit.
I was hoping you would say that.
So it actually is an automatic legacy play. Like yep. It creates the requirement. I mean, if I compare where I was before understanding this to where I am now, my legacy will be at least 10 times what it was before. Because I have a guaranteed, like it's a whole life policy, meaning it will be there my entire life, not just over a period of time, like a term policy. Term policies last 10 years, 20 years, maybe 30 years, but they very, very rarely pay out because you usually die after the term is over.
Yeah.
So this is a guarantee that I will have something to pass down to my kids. And anyways, there's a whole slew of other things we could talk about concerning that. But that's the two major differences, I would say, between, you know, this asset type and just real estate in general.
Thank you. And as we wrap up here, because we could talk about this for hours, I'm sure, you know, this is what the ultra wealthy have done for hundreds of years, right? This is how the, you know, Rockefellers have passed down and created legacy foundations and the, you know, the Carnegies, not so much the Carnegies because they're in libraries, but you know, the Rothschild, you know, all these other big wealthy companies, they don't own much. They have a lot of things that they're, you know, controlling, but they don't own a lot of things. And this is similar in that vein, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll go back to the very first thing that I learned that really challenged me was if banks do things a certain way, shouldn't we look to them as a possible model to follow? Like, and here's what I will tell you, don't do as they say, do as they do.
Right.
Because I literally was told this is a bad idea by all the people in leadership of the bank. And yeah. Simultaneously, it was being done on them. So do as banks do. And that's where the, you know, the Morgan, the JP Morgans of the world, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, as you mentioned, they do this because it makes sense. It's actually a way to take control and continue to perpetuate that wealth instead of what most people do is they die, their assets go to their kids, and then it dissipates because they spend it down. And, you know, we're building an entire family bank around this idea and continue to teach them how to use it.
So cool. So cool. It reminds me of the story of, it's a story that I'm making. It's my story. And that is, you listen to this guy, Warren Buffett, who's brilliant, probably one of the greatest traders of our time, because he's taken advantage of the time value of money and how it grows. But he's done well. I'm not going to take that away from him. But he talks about, oh, you should put your money in the S&P 500. You know how much money he has in the S&P 500? Zero. He doesn't have an ETF. He doesn't have a mutual fund. He goes really deep on a few solid quality investments. And that's the key to success, is knowing what you're doing, figuring out the right vehicle and the right methodology and making it happen. How can people find out a bit more about you, Joey, and what you and Russ are doing over there?
Well, I always love to connect with people, especially when you heard me on a podcast with great people. We built a page. If you go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/wealtharchitect. Yeah, wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/wealtharchitect. We've got some giveaways on there. We've got some things that you can access, get a copy of our book, all sorts of things on there. So, and also my contact info. So please reach out to me and let me know you heard me on Mark's show. This has just been such a great pleasure to be on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, your wisdom, and some of the nuggets that we got just in having a quick, 40-minute conversation. It's really awesome. Thank you so much. We agree on so much. I look forward to having a cup of coffee or something with you one of these days in person. But
let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So thanks again. Appreciate your being here.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, everybody. Well, this is another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Remember what I always say. First of all, thanks for being here. But I always say this, never give up your power in your wealth, your health, or your time. So have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.